You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Best Practice Show. My name is Kirk Barron, and I'm your host today, where we're going to take a look at a new way to think about the way to think with our good friend Ron Z. So I'm so pumped you're here. Now, if you're joining us with the podcast for the first time, I want to just do a couple things. I always want to welcome people and just say, hey, thanks for showing up, because it's so cool to talk to all of you. Sometimes you're a younger dentist, a newer dentist, a mature dentist. It doesn't matter, but we started this COVID conference last year, the COVID-19 Dental Relief Conference, where we had over 38,000 of you show up. And it was so much fun just to get to meet a lot of different people. And if you're finding yourself over to the podcast, which is what we're doing right now, I want to do just a couple things. Now, it's crazy because I'm being educated like you are right now. And as we learn about podcasts, it's crazy. We do all these videos. You guys never watch them, or you watch a little bit of them and you download the audios. So we're over 140,000 audio downloads. And so here's what I want you to do. So if you're listening on Stitcher or iTunes or whatever, and this is your first time here, do me a favor. Go to that little subscribe button and just hit the subscribe button, because I want you to keep showing up. You're going to see every single week, we're going to bring you a brand new expert inside and outside of dentistry that's going to give you some things to think about to help you create a better practice and a better life. Also, if you haven't joined our private Facebook group, make sure you join us over there. It's called The Best Practices, powered by ACT Dental. And you're going to see almost 14,000 of you are over there just communicating, connecting in a great little community that you'll love. And then lastly, I get this question, I'm not kidding, like almost every day, people are like, oh, it's so fun with the education. I still don't know what you do. Well, we are practice coaches. We coach dentists and teams. So if you're a practice owner and you're like, I don't know, I think I could have a better practice. Like it's stressful doing dentistry. I love it, but you know, maybe my team's not getting getting along very well, or maybe I can improve the profitability a little bit, or maybe the schedule's driving me nuts, or maybe I don't want to write off 35% of my production every year. If those are the questions you're asking yourself, just give us a call or show up at actdental.com. You're going to see we got a team of coaches. We are here to help you in every way. Dentistry is the greatest profession ever. And if you set it up that way, you can enjoy it. So make sure you join us over there. Now, I want to introduce my guest, who has been a great friend of this community for such a long time. His name is Rob Z. Rob Z, what's happening, man?
Oh my God, I miss you. So good to see you. Okay, let me just say, like, I'm watching the eyeballs go up and down. I'm like, damn, yeah. I'm like a tech nerd in San Francisco. I got my phone down here going, because you either have the best Russian bots that you've like picked up on. Somebody's already like, Rob Z's awesome. I'm like, I totally agree. Rob, or there's people that legit love me. This is awesome. But man, thank you for having me on.
I wish you lived closer. I also wish that, I wish I had a bicycle. We could ride together. Like, you're a man of many talents, many interests. And we were talking about bourbon before we went on. And you've also been a great friend to the ACT dental community. I've had you speak out at our conferences, and you're always a big hit. And today we're going to be talking about a way to reframe your brain. You're also going to give us, what, 10 minutes back per day, every day type of a thing?
At least, well, I was gonna shoot for 10 hours a week, but 10 minutes a day, whatever you prefer.
No, 10 hours. I'll take the 10 hours. We'll go with the 10 hours. You know,
I mean, we'll turn the 10 minutes. We'll go baby steps, my man.
Okay,
you gotta crawl before you walk.
We do, and we covered a lot before we went live, just on everything. And we'll get to that in a second. But I want people, before we get into this topic, and we'll flush it out, I want people to know who Rob Z is. So what do you do? You speak all over the world.
I went on my first proper business trip last week in 14 months. I still remember how, which is awesome. And like the hotels and airlines still kind of like me. It was so wonderful. I'm a professional speaker, personal coach, and fortunate enough to say best-selling author. My company, Freedom Personal Development, we do personal and professional development training programs. So what I do is I teach people how to better manage their mind and their thoughts in a way that helps them be more successful in everything they do, become more resilient, so they can have a lot more fun in everything that they do, so they can get the results that they're looking for in every single thing that they do, and get those results with either the same or a lot less effort. Like a lot of my clients come to me, they're like, dude, I'm making like the same amount of money, but I'm working half as much, or I'm working the same as I was, but I'm making way more money now. So that's what I do. I help people really tap into the power of their mind and their subconscious to, like you said earlier, like think about their thinking. Most people don't do that. And so I help people get a little bit better at that so they can be more successful at what they do. Yeah. And so that's what I do. So yeah, I'm looking real forward to being able to tell people. I travel all around the country teaching people how to be a better version of themselves.
Right.
So now I'm doing it like this.
Now you're doing it with virtually. You got the nice camera, you got the whiteboard in the back, you got all that kind of stuff. Now, I will say this, and I don't throw this around a lot, but I get to see a lot of different speakers, and you're one of those guys where I know you don't have notes. I know you don't even have slides half the time, and it's wildly entertaining. Like, you're like, he doesn't even know where he's going. Oh, wait. And I love the improvisation, and it's so helpful and it's entertaining. So the reason I'm saying that is that if you're a study club director and you haven't had Rob Z come out to your club, you got to have Rob. He'll have them falling into the aisles. On top of it too, your content is so good that it just doesn't limit itself to young adults or mature adults. I mean, kids can use this stuff. You can put your kids to this stuff. If you have a teenage kid and you just want them to think a little bit better, you're truly one of the best. I just enjoy chatting with you about anything, but it's always...
You and I get in a room together. I love watching other people's faces when you and I finally get a chance to sit down at a table with each other, because they're all like,
"Yeah." I can only imagine if we did dueling pianos. Do you know what I mean? You'd maybe go first.
I don't know how to play piano. That's one of my goals. I would love to go. So the grocery store down here by me, Mariano's, it's called. They've got, I don't know if they still do it anymore, but prior to COVID, they had somebody who would like play the piano by the checkout lanes every weekend. So I'm like, I want to learn to play piano just so I can go play piano at Mariano's on a Saturday. Cause I think that'd be fun.
It'd be fun, but there's gotta be some research behind that people buy more when they feel better, or they're hearing music like that, or there's gotta be something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's one of those experiential stores. I don't mean to say it like that, but I just did, but you know, lots of samples. I call them wine tasting contests, when really it's just a tasting. I add wine and contest, but probably. I mean, you know, you feel you feel good.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's all good.
So yeah, well, I do that, and then yes, I ride bikes and I fix bikes. I got a side hustle. It's kind of fun. I do bicycle repairs and tune-ups, and I let people pay me in beer and bourbon and all kinds of fun stuff. And
go back to that. What else? You were sharing with me your best customers this year, so I thought that was very interesting. Share your top customers.
So it's been like full gas, right? And anybody in cycling or who rides or does anything cycling oriented knows it's like the wild, wild west. So I do bicycle repairs and tune-ups out of my garage. It's called Beers for Gears. It's a ton of fun. But I've somehow in the last month, three of my latest clients, one guy works for one of my five favorite breweries down here and paid me with a lot of tall 16-ounce cans. Another guy owns the barbecue place in the town I live, and so that was awesome. And then the other guy works for Jim Beam and brought me five bottles of bourbon, three of which I've never seen before. Wow. So that's been fun.
You know, it's good to have those kinds of customers. Sounds kind of interesting.
They're like, I don't know how to do this, but you do, and I have this, and you like, it's just a win-win, you know, just fun. So like I said, side hustle, excuse me, whatever. It's better than I've watched enough TV. I'm all set. So let's have some other fun with my evening.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, okay. So you were talking about this subject before we went live. Like the confessions of I think you're going to have to define pessimism. Okay,
yeah,
it really is. And then let's redefine it or reframe it so people can think a little bit better. So tell us why this is so important about what we're going to be talking about before we talk about it.
For sure. So, you know, clearly this is one of those titles that's just designed. It's like the clickbait of video podcast titles, right? Confessions of a non-practicing pessimist.
Right.
But there is there's a lot of reality to this. Here's the deal. Right, wrong, or indifferent. We are all born. We are all shipped from the factory. Our brains have certain default settings. We are hardwired to focus on specific things. The biggest ones that we see that actually hold us back are our brains are hardwired to focus on negativity, urgency, and complacency. Short version is we think it sucks. We think it needs to be fixed right now, but we're unwilling to contribute or do anything because that might be a little uncomfortable. So I'm not saying that everybody wakes up a total, we'll insert your own word here, like jack wagon, jerk.
Right.
I don't know what the MPAA rating of your show is, Kirk. So I'll keep it on the PG to PG-13 end of the spectrum. But like most people don't like wake up going, I'm going to be a jerk today. But
right.
The reality is the way our brains are hardwired, we end up unconsciously being a jerk or being a pessimist because of it's a survival mechanism, you know, like caveman days, saber-tooth tiger days, we're always looking for threats. And so our brains are hardwired to look for threats. So we live longer. Unfortunately that tendency, that hardwiring, it's buried just like deep in our DNA. And our challenge today is that what our brain perceives as a negative input or a threat today, it's just not the same as it was back in the caveman days, right? Back in the day, grizzly bear, saber-tooth tiger, like tribe with a stick and can throw a spear is a threat. Like you're going to die unless you can address it. Today, like you show up to, like if you're going back to conferences and like they don't have Starbucks out and you're like, oh, institutional coffee. Oh, right. Like that's, your brain thinks that's the same thing. Or you throw a treatment plan out to your patient and they're like, yeah, let me think about it. And you're like, what do you possibly need to think about?
Yeah.
Right. Or like, I need more information. Like, okay, here's the information. You have teeth. They need to be fixed. This is how to fix them. That's the information. Right. And you go into like defensive, like, why are you trying to shut down my practice by saying no?
Right.
Right? It's like, we don't think it's not, you don't wake up going, who am I going to be pissed at today?
Right. And these are just outward projections. It's not like, but you start to, you know, you shared this, like most of our self-talk is negative, right? So you said three things. You said negativity, complacency. What was the third one?
Urgency.
Urgency. So like, are we building neural pathways that they just repeat themselves? And when we focus on they grow, is that what you're talking about?
So that's one of the things. And so listen, before I answer your question, I'm not a doctor. Okay, my joke, the only letters after my name are my last name, but I've done a fair amount of research. So ultimately, yeah, we've got our neural pathways, our thought processes, like, you know, you have the same thought over and over and over again, it carves those neural pathways and you end up like following that path. The analogy is if you've ever, okay, like Kirk, I know where you live, you've had some snow, right? And you know that hopefully there's no snow for a while, I'm all set. But you know, like when there's a snowstorm and like you're the first person on the sidewalk, you know, you take those big giant steps to try and cover as much ground as you can and get the least amount of snow as possible in your shoes. You track with me on this one?
I wear really high boots though, you know, but I am tracking you. We don't get we get a lot.
I won't tell your wife that you stole her thigh high boots. That's okay. But anyway, but no, then like you go, if you got to go back, you know, you walk in those same old footprints and then over time you miss a little bit. And like, if nobody shoveled, but after an hour, there's usually like a path that's crunched down the snow. Your thoughts do the same thing in your brain.
Right.
Probably not telling you anything you don't know. But ultimately, unconsciously, because of these unhelpful default settings, these hardwiring, like we just end up having a lot of negative thoughts. And then the reality is we do live in a culture that I think kind of like helps promote this, right? Like the news and social media, and like, I'm not getting on a, I'm not going to get a soapbox or anything, but the reality is you turn on the news, it's the worst thing in the world, right? You read the paper, it's like, if it bleeds, it leads, right? That's what sells newspapers and magazines. And then it's funny, like it bleeds. If you watch sports, like you watch, I love watching ESPN. I love watching Sports Center. And then until they get into like analyze stuff, it's always negative. Like, so we just, my point is we live in this culture that supports this. So those thought patterns, those processes, those tracks in the snow get matted down tighter and tighter every single day. Urgency, right? That's the squirrel thing. That's, you know, we're our brains are addicted to distraction, right? We don't want to be distracted, but again, it's that survival mechanism of whatever is right here closest to me is a threat and I got to pay attention to it. That's more important to me. That's going to serve me better, but this is right here, so I'm going to pay attention to it. Right. And this is like a text message or your Instagram notice or whatever, right? This is a profitable practice. This is 3-day weekends every week.
Right.
This is changing people's lives, but got to get that, right? And we're addicted to it. And then complacency is just a super aggressive way of saying we have comfort zones. Our brains run the show, but our brains also are way more interested in sitting on the couch watching Days of Our Lives reruns and diving into a tub of Haagen-Dazs because you don't have to move and you don't have to, you don't have to breathe hard. It doesn't have to pump blood through your veins. Like your heart, your brain's like, let's just chill.
Yeah.
Let's just chill. And then these comfort zones come up around us.
Yeah.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
You know, I'm getting older though, Rob. Like,
yeah.
is there a lack of adaptive capability? And, you know, the thing I always hear is, well, I'm just in a bad environment. You know, sometimes people around me, like I'm just surrounded by negative people, blah, blah, blah. So help me with some of this. Cause you hear this stuff all day long, don't you?
And twice on Sundays. Yes. Right. So yeah, it is. Yeah. You got people that are like, I've got external factors. Well, yes, of course. We all have external factors. And I'm actually going to, you know, I'm going to edify the bejesus out of you because there's a line that I heard you say, God, I don't even know how long ago. It's probably been at least 6 or 7 years ago. It was like the first time we ever met. And it was right. You know what it was? It was like on the tail end of the recession in 2008, 2009. And you're like, yeah, there's a recession and I just choose not to participate.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty hot. And like, that's the thing, like I'm unavailable for some conversations, right? There's some people in my life. There's some people in my business. There's some people that I'm simply unavailable for that conversation. But to actually address what you're talking about, yeah, you have tools at your disposal that they're inside of you. They're free. They work, but being aware of them and cultivating the skill is actually proven to overcome all these default settings. And so as it relates to what we're talking about today, the whole like overcoming pessimism or overcoming your brain's natural tendency to focus on the negative. I mean, ultimately what we're talking about, attitude, that's really what we're talking about.
Right.
And this is my new line. I like to drop on people is like, we've all had there's two attitude talks you've had, right? One is your mom or your dad going, listen, it's time for an attitude adjustment. And the second is you're at a conference and there's some dude on stage who's older than me and whiter than me, and he's giving you the accessories poster thing of it's your attitude, not your aptitude, that determines your altitude, right? Those are like the attitude talks we've had. But there's mindset management tools that you can use. They're simple and they work. And so it's your ability to laugh. If you're taking notes, write this down, unless you're driving. It's your ability to laugh, your ability to practice gratitude, and your ability to manage your mental input. Those are the three big tools that you have at your disposal. So you talked about the people around you. Yes, that's around you. I alluded to this earlier. You pay attention to your input sources, and that in and of itself can change your life. You pay attention to what you watch, what you read, what you listen to. You pay attention to the questions you ask yourself or the way you talk to yourself, and you pay attention to the people you surround yourself with.
Right.
Dude, you got teenagers in your life.
Oh, dude, I love that.
You want to go out? What's the first question? What's the first question you ask?
Yeah, who are you going to be hanging around with? And they go, totally. I'm like, that's very vague. You know, your friends, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You're the average of the five people you hang around with most. You know all these things.
We all know these things.
Laughter, gratitude, input source. I heard Nito Cobain say this one time. He said, you know, people say garbage in, garbage out. No, garbage in, garbage stays. And it multiplies. It gives birth to new garbage. And it starts to multiply over and over.
It's like negativity hamsters. They just breed and grow.
Right.
We'll leave it at that. We'll stay on the PG-13 end of the spectrum here.
Hey, I had Howard Ferrin on here as my third guest. And he's like, how far can I go? I go, well, my 92-year-old, well, she's 94-year-old grandmother watches this. And he's like, all right, I'll keep it on the rails. So, but now here, I want you to go back to this because this is a serious issue. You know, mental health is a very big topic in dentistry, a very serious topic in dentistry. And I do love talking about this because, again, I don't have any answers. The brain is a very important part of the body. And we have to understand that we can control some things. Like we're not just serving our brain. We can actually control our brain, right? Mm-hmm. In some capacity.
Yeah.
You know, there are things you can't control and there's things you can't. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Fun. Yeah. That's it. Like, and you go back to attitude is how you choose to view your world. And you make a choice. That's the bottom line. You make a choice and you either honor the choice or you don't.
Right.
Like, dude, like we could drop every cheesy motivational speaker line possible, right? What's heavier, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret? Like, which one hurts me? Like, which one do you want?
Right.
But ultimately, yeah, you're right. Our brain, it's neuroplasticity. Like, you have the ability to change habits. You can change thought processes. You can change perspective, right? You can ask yourself, how is this result the best thing that could have happened for me? You can ask yourself the shower question that I know you love asking people.
Right.
Did you take a shower? Do you earn it? Did I take it or earn it today? Right. But the thing is, these are all little things. And then it's the aggregation of there's two things I'll talk about. One is the aggregation of marginal gains. And the other is the winning edge theory.
You have to find both of those. Cause I'm thinking,
I'm glad I thought you'd never ask.
Thank you.
The aggregation of marginal gains, it's been stated a bunch of ways. I learned about this firsthand from the cycling world, but it's all about finding the tiny little things that you can do a little bit better. And then once you stack all these different improvements together, the end result ends up being a lot greater. So Kirk, you're in cycling like I am. You've done triathlons. Mm-hmm. God bless you. You know, in cycling, I don't care what your opinion of cycling is, but I'm going to tell you that from an aggregation of marginal gain standpoint, this is every piece of marketing done in anything in the cycling world. Like, you have teams that literally will pay thousands of dollar fines because they're wearing a tighter jersey, or they had put dimples on the shoulders of their jerseys because they knew when they were in this position, it was like a golf ball and it disturbed the wind and they were going to be like a fraction of a second faster over 40 kilometers.
Right.
So they put the dimples on the shoulders and then a little bit narrower tire and a little bit lower tire pressure here and higher tire pressure there. And it's just all these little things stack up. And the end result is a bigger result. It's one of my friends is Dr. Alan Lim, who's an exercise physiologist for Tour de France riders. And he was the first guy to put a hand sanitizer on the inside and the outside of the team bus. Because he said, look, if all you do is use hand sanitizer before you go on the bus and before you come off the bus, the likelihood of you getting sick over the course of a 3-week race is lower. And if we have more guys in 3 weeks than anybody else, we'll be a stronger team.
Wow.
Like, okay, that's an example of Right. Like, no, it's like hand sanitizer. What cyclist needs to focus on hand sanitizer? It's not about the cycling. It's about keeping your hands clean and staying healthy for 3 weeks.
Oh, for sure.
So that's what the aggregation of marginal gains is all about. The winning edge theory, and if I'm on a roll, man, if you need to stop me, because I could.
No, I love this, by the way.
No, love it. The winning edge.
You can't big concepts and not define them. I mean, you got to go.
Yeah. It's the Karshnarfowitz effect.
Right? You're out.
We're not going to do. Yes, we're going to talk about these things. So the winning edge theory says that a small change applied at the right moment has a massive impact on the end result. So the two places you see this are golf and horse racing.
Okay.
Right. Kurt, I don't know. Do you golf?
Not well.
Well, that wasn't the question. Okay. I know the answer based on, no, I'm just kidding. So, right. Winning edge theory, if you got a ball and a club, right, the difference at the moment of impact between this and this, this one is, did you guys see that shot?
Right.
This one is, did anybody see where that landed? Right. It's a millimeter at the moment of impact, but the end result on where the ball lands, it's huge.
For sure. Right?
Horse racing, they call it win by a nose because the winning horse wins from a time standpoint, it's like a second or a fraction of a second, but it's like a 10x payday for first place versus second place. And that first place horse is never 10 times stronger, 10 times faster, 10, right. It's never 10 times better. It was a little bit better at the right point of the race, and it leads to a 10x payout.
Right. That's why, I don't know that much about swimming, but the swimmers get their turn down. Make an adjustment to a turn. That's a huge gain. So
it's huge.
So here's my real question though, Rob. I'm listening. Let's say I'm listening, and I know I'm a pessimist. I know I am. So how do I start using this stuff if I'm going to start – being a non-practicing pessimist.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. You said it best. And I want to make sure that this comes across appropriately and accurately is choose to be a non-practicing pessimist, right? Because everyone is born with this default setting. Your brain is naturally going to gravitate towards negativity.
Right.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault, but you have the ability to change it. So number one, knock it off. If you find yourself having negative thoughts or you find yourself being the person that, there's people that when they walk into a room, you feel better.
Yes.
And then, there's people that when they leave a room, you feel better. You feel
better. Yes.
Yeah. Focus on being A. Yeah. And then it's all easy for me to say, but there are little things that you can do that will flip the switch. And this is one of those things. I'm going to pause for a second and I'm going to say, I'm going to go back to your question from however long ago. You're like, Rob, what do you do?
Right.
Here's another thing. Here's one of the things I do. I take ideas and concepts that get a lot of lip service and I help people learn and understand how to implement them in a way that works. It works now and it works sustainably.
Right.
Okay. With that in mind, gratitude regularly and knowingly and intentionally practicing gratitude is the number one thing that will scientifically flip the switch from sorry, grandma, a-hole mode to productive serving mode. Okay.
Totally. Now, because I totally agree. Now you're probably going there and I just,
no, go like dive in, dude.
I believe that gratitude is so huge. I mean, you got to be practicing it. So explain the science behind it.
So here's the, again, letters after my name on my last name, but here's a rough down and dirty version of the science. When you focus on a problem, when you are thinking about a problem, because of the way your brain is hardwired, that sets off a whole chain reaction. Okay. It's like, remember the black cat firecrackers growing up. Remember you light the one and how many of them exploded when you lit the one?
All of them. If you don't
unreaction.
Yeah.
That exact same thing happens in your brain unconsciously. You focus on one problem. You think about one problem. It sets off a whole chain reaction, blah, 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 right? Of problems and frustration. And like they get worse. It's amazing. They stack on top. They're like the hamsters of negativity just railing away on each other and just multiplying and multiplying. Sorry, grandma. Anyway, that then creates a whole chemical reaction inside of your body, right? You have these thoughts and that starts pumping out hormones and neuropeptides and, like, again, stuff I'm not qualified to talk about. And the way it manifests itself is things like RBF. Any of my hygienists are watching this know that RBF, resting bitch face, right? Yeah. You've heard that it, you don't show up trying to be, but you end up to have it just by thinking about this thing. Oh. It manifests itself and you like hunch over and your brow gets all furrowed and you're just like not the person people want to be around.
Right. Right.
What happens though? So like understanding that's how to, well, the same thing happens in reverse where when you intentionally focus on anything you're grateful for, dude, and it doesn't matter. You don't have to save the world.
Right.
Right. When you're grateful for that kick-ass pot of coffee that your favorite coffee machine makes, or you're great, you know, like, dude, there's a half a brownie left in the pan.
Yeah.
You know, like what happens is you have that thought.
Yeah. No, you were the one that taught me this. Like, so years ago, and I can't remember where we were in Tampa or wherever.
Orlando.
Oh, it was Orlando. It was.
Wait, which one?
I don't know. It was the big Team Palooza one.
That was Orlando.
That was Orlando.
Oh my God. Talk about inappropriate stories from that one, but go. Not this. That's where I got the free hotel. Remember that's where I got all those hotel points?
Was it?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Okay. No, but it was either that meeting or it was another one. And you started with this and I'm like, holy moly, that's so true. And I thought you said something to me like, once you start practicing, I thought you said gratitudinal, like whatever, it cuts off the air supply to other things. And so I'm not kidding. It was shortly after this and we had just moved into our new house. And I remember like, I got to start practicing gratitude. So this is a true story. I go down my street one day, I pull in. And I'm like, oh, there's a dog in the street. And I'm like, oh, that's my dog. It's in the street. And then my first thought is, dog's in the street. Then I look over to the front door. The front door of my house is open. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, oh, the front door. Okay. And then, you know, I'm like, okay. And my first thought is, what is going on? And then I started like, you know what? I have a dog. Dog is still alive. And I have a house and I have a garage. Like I was like, I could enter the house with a whole nother, you know, disposition than normally like all guns blazing when you know that's never good, right?
Yeah, that's super productive, right?
Right. But things go bad. And I've learned, I can't remember if you taught me this too. It's better to be fascinated than frustrated, which points to
the- man, I wish I would have taught you that. That's a good one.
You taught me a lot. I can't remember where I get.
I'm sorry, that was totally me. I'm sorry.
It might have been. But you're right. I mean, it's reframing these things that happened to you. Who said it? It's not what happens to you, but it's how you respond. Boy, we're going to really get into the cliches now.
I'm telling you, which cheesy motivational speaker line do you want? We got plenty of them. We do this for a living.
Right. And you don't even have any notes or slides too. So that makes you extra dangerous. So
I'll stop it, but keep going. Well, it's just because I teach memory training. So I kind of like the memory guy can't show up going, okay, on our next slide.
Yeah.
But anyway, so wait, let me finish this up. Cause I think like we alluded to this, but I want to make sure that this message actually, like I want to see this conversation through is we talked about the M80 fire. You know, we talked about the black cat firecrackers, right? Same thing happens with gratitude as did with frustration. You focus on gratitude and like, you don't have one thought. It actually creates a chain reaction of thoughts. And those thoughts tend to be like the hamsters that rail away on each other and make more thoughts. Yeah. And they're gratitude and enthusiasm and joy and excitement. And then you have the chemical reaction. You've got the hormones and the neuropeptides and all that stuff. And it shows up in, I don't mean to boast, but dude, it shows up in like how when you and I walk into a room, people know we walk into the room. Right?
Well, not only does it show up in your disposition, but I feel like it shows up in other places. I can feel it here. You know, you can feel it when you're clenching your teeth. So,
yeah. Like, I'm not going to save the world, but how many cracked teeth would listeners and watchers not have had to deal with in the last 14 months if people just did a little more gratitude? I'm not ignoring the reality of the last better part of the last year. But perfect example, like it manifests itself in broken teeth and
right.
Yeah.
But if you train your brain, like just to think better, just in small little efforts, it's amazing its impact on your life. And that's what you do. Now, I do want to talk about this, just getting time back because you and I talk said this a lot. We waste a lot of time on stuff. And today you're going to give us a good tool on how we can get, you said, 10 hours back in a week? Gosh,
yes, the fast guide to focus, because I love my alliteration.
Right.
We've got a program we teach called the 2-Hour Solution. And it's our time management approach. And okay, this is normally my Jerry Springer final thoughts, but if there's anyone watching or listening that has ever had the thought, man, I suck at time management. Well, A, that thought is exactly what we were just talking about with your brain focusing on the negative. Right. So I'll change this to, if anyone's ever had the thought, man, I would benefit from being better with my time or more effective with my time. The reason people suck at time management is they're trying to take a tactical approach to a strategic initiative. And so what we do through the 2-Hour Solution is help people take the appropriate amount of time and mental effort to get reconnected with what's most important to them. So that when it comes time to scheduling the amount of time or bandwidth that you're going to put towards it, it's always supporting that big picture idea. I've got, it's funny, I've got in the background, I've got my task goals and dreams exercise I do with my coaching clients. I call it the circles talk, where it's time management and it's not. It's energy management. It's focus management. That's really what okay, I'm just going to stop. Time management is not time management. It's energy and focus management. And it just happens to be how much time you want to spend on what focus and with what type of energy.
Yeah. See, that's why you're a brother from another mother, because it's funny. I mean, you're way smarter than I am, but like, I feel like the single biggest problem in the entire world and dentistry is we don't give our best energy to the things that matter most. Totally. So that has less to do with time, but it's true. It's like, where did you put all of your energy today? And when you're putting it to the things that matter, you feel good about it. That's why when you go on vacation or you take your kid or you go to a baseball game, you're like, I feel good about that with your family. And when you spend 2 hours on Instagram, you're like, what the heck did I just do for the last 2 hours?
And now why is my thumb hurt? Yeah. I'm scrolling.
And it just compounds how lousy you feel, you know?
Totally. So yeah.
I love it.
So anyway, and it's funny because people are like, all right, teach me time management. And my first question is always, what's important to you? And they're like, time management. I'm like, we're not going to work together. We're not going to get along.
Yeah. So now any last thoughts? There's my Jerry Springer.
You kind of look like the bouncer. If you put on 40 pounds, you would totally look like a bouncer, by the way. You would totally look like Steve.
Oh, the big guy? Yeah.
Look at it. Somebody be watching this live and throw in the chat that Kirk totally looks like Steve the bouncer.
Isn't there an app that could do that instead of probably actually doing it just to prove the point?
I don't know. What, you gain in 40 pounds?
Yeah. So
final thoughts, please don't put on 40 pounds. Hey. No, but fun. Dude, listen, pay attention to how you start and finish your day.
All right.
That's my final thoughts.
I love it. You know what time it is? It's time for the bonus round, where we ask our guests 3 interesting questions about them to learn more about them.
Sorry, I got into that.
No, we're just making this up as we go. Okay. So, all right, here we go. You're already married. I can't ask you that. Okay. If animals could talk, which animal would be the rudest? Go.
Which animal would be the rudest?
Oh, I know. I know.
Oh, the peacock.
Why? Tell me why.
Oh, my God. Because it's got a... Oh, my God. I'm sorry, Grandma.
Yeah. Go there.
Because it's got an ass that's made up of middle fingers.
Oh, wow. That is money. Okay, so that's pretty funny, actually.
It's 2 drink minimum, folks. Don't forget to tip your waitress.
There you go. That's why this guy, I'll just tell you guys, anytime I'm on the road with him, I could miss a flight. It's like ping pong back and forth. And sometimes awesome. I don't even know what we're talking. My guess was going to be cats. Like any cats would just be rude. Dogs, they want to be your friend. Cats have, what did George Carlin say? Cats have staff, you know, like you're working for cats. I don't know.
Dude, cats are now, oh man, I'm going. I know where I'm going. Cats are like shopping at Costco in the suburbs. They're just entitled.
They are entitled. They are entitled. Okay, here's the next one.
All right.
Do you have any phobias?
None that I can think of. I can typically, I, no, not, All right. I don't have phobias. No, like I'm not a fan of bees and wasps, but I wouldn't call it a phobia.
All right, forget that one.
Yeah, okay, let's skip it. That was not a fun one.
All right. What's the grossest thing you've ever seen someone do in public?
Oh my gosh.
Anything come to mind?
I saw a dislocated knee in a basketball game, but it's not like he did it on purpose.
Oh right? Yeah. It's all bad. Yeah,
that was pretty gross. Give me a better one. We skip that one.
All right. Sorry, man. Bad ones here. Okay. So
they're not bad. They're just we would benefit from.
Oh, this is a good one. Okay. Go. When you were a kid, did you have any posters on your wall? If so, what?
Oh, you could see a little bit of wall from between my posters.
Okay.
And I can't believe I got rid of this. And my buddy just got a version of this. Do you remember the Michael Jordan Wings poster?
No, I don't.
All right, dude, anybody around our age, I was the biggest, I idolized Michael Jordan growing up. And which has both served me and not served me in my professional career. Because if anybody watches anything, knows anything about Jordan, he was ruthless. But anyway, they had this awesome poster of him as a black and white, and he had his arms all stretched out. And this poster was like 6 or 7 feet long.
Right? Oh,
it was super narrow. And it was black and white, and it says, "No bird soars too high when it soars with its own wings." Oh. And so that was my God, I love that post. I remember I had a little stain on the corner of it, and I was so pissed. I had two little dots. So I had that. I had a lot of Bulls posters, a lot of Chicago Bears posters.
Yeah.
That was the majority of the posters in my room.
Yeah, that was good. I actually remember that one now, and it was on the cover of a book that my wife, like, I think she had the Jordan photo book, and I think, So I remember that poster. Mine was, I'm older than you, so I'm 51. I love the Vikings growing up, and I don't even know why, because I was a Packers fan, but Chuck Foreman was the running back. That was the first poster I ever had, number 44, and I was begging my mom. I put it on my wall, and then right next to Chuck Foreman, I had the Farrah Fawcett poster. You know the famous one? Where she put her hair back like this?
Oh, yeah. Explain it more. B, reenact it more.
No, she had her hair back like this. Now, the funniest thing about the Farrah Fawcett poster is this. My brother and I were wrestling, and we went right into it, and elbow went right through the wall. And I'll never forget this. Like, we taped the poster up. I put it back over the hole. And did this ever happen to you?
You gave it the Shawshank.
Yeah. It was a Shawshank. Did you have a brother or no growing up or a sibling? Oh yeah, two. So you always had those, and you're like, oh man, what do we do? So we put it back up, and it was probably 2 years went by. Oh. And then my mom decided to wallpaper, and she's like, what happened? I'm like, Mom, that has been here for 2 years.
That's
so
hilarious.
Look how mad she was. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Last one.
All right.
In your opinion, what makes a party boring? Anything come to mind?
What makes a party boring?
Boring.
Oh, when it's not in the kitchen.
That's so true.
The best parties happen in the kitchen.
Oh, they're always in the kitchen.
Yeah.
They're always in the kitchen.
Yeah. And then what makes a party boring? When Rob Zaberski's not invited.
Whoa.
Please edit that out. Live.
We gotta leave that in.
That sucked.
Yeah, that's sorry. That's the downside of
your Russian bots are blowing up right now. Rob Zaberski is no longer awesome.
That's why I enjoy you. Yeah.
What would make a party boring? That wouldn't make it exciting if they ran out of toilet paper. But yeah, no, I think like if it's not in the if there's not a proper like guest to kitchen ratio.
Right.
Gotta do it in the kitchen.
I would agree with you. Like, I don't like themed parties that are not themes that I'm like into. Like, I don't want to wear like all that stuff and go. That makes me crazy.
That my wife and I have an entire bin in the basement labeled dress up clothes, and it's not for the kids. We had an inappropriate t-shirt / pig roast party for our 40th birthdays years ago.
Oh, see, that's a good one. I have done the ugly or inappropriate Christmas sweater. Everybody's done that.
We started that in 2003.
Yeah, that's always a good one.
If you got a good group of friends, I recommend the inappropriate t-shirt party, provided there's a zero social media, no camera phone policy.
Yeah, like, you would have to do that, wouldn't you?
It was like a high school party where people had to put their phones in the basket because we had like the village manager and the president of the Chamber of Commerce and many teachers were at this thing. But yeah, like inappropriate t-shirt party, two thumbs up.
Yeah, that's so good. I that's actually a pretty good idea.
I interrupted you though. I'm sorry.
No. That's actually a pretty good idea. Even for the ugly Christmas sweater party, you should probably do the same thing. So that's good stuff, man. Well, buddy, I always enjoy being with you. I know I've been with you some time, but I love talking about anything that you're talking about. And one last thing, just for people that are listening, for the benefit of people listening, how do I find out more about Rob Z? How do I find you? What do I do? How do I find you on social media? Where do I go?
Well, you can search Rob Zabierski. Fortunately, there's not too many of us floating around out there. So Zbierski, drop me an email. Freedom Personal Development is our website. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. Kirk, I'm so connected. Twitter checks me in the morning. Okay. That's what I'm talking. That's where I'm at socially. So I'm on Instagram at Rob Z Speaker, Rob Zabierski on Facebook and LinkedIn. Connect with me, go to our website, find out all about us. Where I'm sure there's probably, I don't have a MySpace page. It's the only place I'm not. I don't have one of those, but,
is that bad?
Yeah, that's just spell my name right. And, or don't spell my name right. See who you meet. That's probably fun too. But yeah, that's where you find me.
Awesome, brother. Well, thank you for being on. We'll do this again.
Thank you so much.
We'll find something else to talk about, I'm sure. And actually I mentioned this to Josh Austin. You'd be a perfect, let's do a show about nothing. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Like with you, me and Austin.
Yeah.
Oh my God. How much bandwidth? Like how long do these things go? Like how much time you got? That'd be amazing.
You'd have to limit to in an hour, but we could come up with some good stuff.
I'm in. Period.
Let's do it. So we'll do a show and we'll just open up something at social media and then just go. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And we'll ping pong.
And you ask us anything.
There you go.
I love it. All right.
Genius.
Dude, thank you so much. This has been a blast.
Hey, I appreciate it.
As always.
Thank you guys.
I can't wait to see you.
Oh, soon. Hopefully soon.
We need one of those good dude man hugs. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
I agree. Totally agree. So thank you guys for watching the Best Practice Show. If you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see on the show, whether it be Rob or other guests. We'll get them all lined up. Until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.